Hey, this is Father Busk, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step. Hey, I'm glad you're with us. Get back for a while right now, because we're going to be looking at life. We're going to look at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, of course, and we call that Armenodoxy. This podcast is being brought to you as part of the expanding vision of the Inner Shoes mission and by the cool folks at epostle.net. Epostle? That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, so if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I just got back from Armenia. Yep, I just got back from Armenia and ready to put it into gear right now as we take the next step. Yep, no jet lag. Just got back yesterday. No jet lag. Actually, no jets involved. Not even a plane. Wait till you hear. Yeah, that's coming up in a few minutes. So glad you're with us right now. We're going to have a lot of fun as we look at life, as we start to explore a few things. Going to be talking about prayer today. Of course, the whole gang is here right now. We are in, I'm going to call it something special. It's an abbreviated studio. It's not the full blown out studio. It's the abbreviated version. We are in Epostle East. And of course, we've got the whole gang is here. There's Susie. Ken is back from small hiatus. And of course, Ani with her bubbles. And we're ready to put it together for this next hour. We've got a lot to talk about. We want to talk about, well, some reflections about Armenia, about what's going on over there. You'd be surprised. Not too far away. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world. But first, a lot of exciting things happening over at Epostle. Yeah, we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. I mean, have you been listening to Compass? And what about our questions in faith? The other night I heard we had some sound issues. But hey, if you're looking for that Thanksgiving special, we'll have that up on our internet site just as soon as possible. Yep, the comparison between the Holy Divine Liturgy and Thanksgiving. It is striking. It is remarkable. We'll have a special for you next week, too. Hey, we got an app. Isn't that exciting? We have an app. It is on the Android marketplace. We're waiting for iTunes to approve it. Ah, those Apple people. They are such control freaks over there. Anyway, we'll have it, the Apple version soon, but the Android version is out. It is released. A very special thank you to Shantza Doyen, who put it all together and made it happen. I mean, this is the way you work, you know? You get it done. We really appreciate all the time and talent he put into that effort. So we are now available as an app. We happen to be on Stitcher Radio as well. And we happen to be on another radio called In His Shoes Radio. Want to thank Azad Derbedrosyan for that. He made things happen. Where there's like a radio station, In His Shoes Radio. Goes all day long with all kinds of fun stuff. Stitcher Radio, Susie got us on there. Man, can you believe it? We are just a push button away. That's it. Just knowing which button to push, that's the interesting thing. Anyway, we will have buttons. We will have all kinds of links. It's all coming together at Epostle. Hope you're doing well. I know it's been a kind of like a different kind of season for us over here. We're already in November, getting ready for the Advent season. Of course, Thanksgiving here in the United States and wherever you are in the world, we'll have a message about Thanksgiving coming up as well. Because, you know, in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, Thanksgiving is not a once-a-year kind of activity. It's one of those things you do all the time. But speaking about once-a-year activities, how about Christmas? Is it just me, or is it really that early? I know. Christmas should be celebrated all year long. But, you know, there's something nice about the season, too. I was looking out the other day. I mean, stores are packed with Christmas goodies. There are lights already going up. I guess it's exciting. Yeah, people are excited. And, you know, we got to talk about what's going on in the world. There is a lot of excitement. Maybe it kind of compensates for all the icky stuff that's going on out there, especially with the financial situation. And today of all days, it all came together. The Occupy movement. Yeah, we talked about it last week. The Occupy movement is now in its second month. It marked this milestone by calling for a day of action, day of protest. And as of this moment, as I'm recording this right now, I'm looking at the news feeds that are coming through. About 300 people throughout the United States have been arrested in acts of protest. And of course, this protest is calculated. It's a protest that is asking to be arrested, to, you know, clog up the system, to make a statement. And you've got to admire these people who are really putting it out on the line. And of course, the Occupy movement is not just the people that are out there on the streets. It's a lot of people that are behind them, because basically we're looking around and what do we see is that the rich are getting richer. And the bottom line is people are hurting tremendously. As a pastor, I'm working right now in the Glendale area. We have many, many immigrant families. We have many families who have come to the United States and have worked very, very hard, have spent many difficult hours trying to put their life together and watching it, seeing it all crumble. I just had a conversation with one of my parishioners. They've been here for the last 30 years, putting everything together, putting all the, you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, making sure they played by the rules. And here it is, in this current economic situation, where they are on the brink of bankruptcy. You know, after 30 years, you shouldn't be at this point. But, you know, there's no jobs, there's no money flow, there's no cash flow, and it is disheartening. Sure, turn to the banks, and what do you expect from the banks? What are you going to get from the banks? Here's the thing, that people expect that the banks are going to have a conscience. Remember Mr. Mooney? What conscience do you think that the banks are going to have? I fall into that too. Hey, I made the big mistake. I needed some money the other day. I went for a loan to a bank that basically for the last 30 years, I've done business with them. And they just look at you like, what? Loan? Like, you know, what are you talking about? You know, and it's disheartening. It's disheartening, of course, because it's real people are being affected. This is something that's affecting a lot of people. What I want to talk to you today about is, well, we started last week. Remember we talked about how we appeal to politicians. Like somehow we expect that the politician is not going to be a politician when it comes to us. Basically, he's not interested in his votes, right? That's what a politician is. He plays the politics to get his votes. Okay, it's just part of the business. It's not like we're saying anything bad about them. It doesn't mean that they're insincere. Most of them are, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're insincere. It just means they're going to play the politics to get what they need, which is votes. People are going to go into business. Banks are in business for what? For money, to make their money and make their cash flow, make their business work. So people are in different things for different reasons. Now, what do you think a church person should be into? Should be into prayer, should be into spirituality, right? Would it interest you to know that church people have lost that sense of, of purpose? Well, easily you could understand that if the church doesn't have a mission. And what we've been talking about here on The Next Step is church needs mission. The Armenian Orthodox Church, we know, has a mission ordained by God, given by God. When Jesus goes into the temple in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and following, after he has spent his time out in the wilderness, he goes into the temple and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has ordained me to preach the good news. He has ordained me to give recovery of sight. He's ordained me to proclaim freedom to the captives." This is the mission. We've outlined that, right? We've gone through the steps and shown that this is the mission of the Christian church. And that's why we call this armadoxy, because unfortunately, when it gets into the institution, there is no mission. The institution itself has lost that sense of mission. And I'm going to give you an example right now. I'm going to give you an example. Actually, we're going to wait for it. We're going to wait right after the song, because I want to give some serious time about it. How would it sound to you if a Catholicos of the Armenian Church, head of the Armenian Church, made a statement that violated what his purpose was? You ready for this? Okay. We're going to be playing a song, and then we're going to be coming back. I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about Armenia. Just got back from Armenia. And how, well, all the interesting things that happened there. Here's today's song of the day. It's a little bit different. It is, well, in the spirit of prayer, because I'm going to be talking about prayer today. As we go on to this Next Step podcast, all kinds of stuff is going to be happening. So here is today's song of the day. It is off the Beast on the Moon album, Haygazjan. It's a song called Dream of Life. Sitting there, and the strolling minstrels are walking by with accordion in hand, playing all kinds of neat songs and tunes. That is off of Haygazjan's Beast on the Moon album. That particular song is called Dream of Life. And we will put a link on our show notes so you can check it out and check out all the good music that we play here on The Next Step. Okay, I told you I went to Armenia, and I got back. No jet lag. Well, let me give you the details. Actually, yesterday I was at the Armenian Consulate here in Los Angeles. The primate of our diocese gave me a call, and as well as all the other priests serving in the Los Angeles area, and said, we are going to the Armenian Council General's office, and we are going to celebrate the new home that they have bought. And as we got into the facility, I mean, it is so gorgeous. I got to tell you. Really, really nice. It is very quaint. It is cute. It is nice. One thing that I really liked were the chandeliers, all in the shape of small little pomegranates. Little pomegranates up in the lights. Oh, it was so nice. It was just, you're proud that there is such a facility here. And it happens to be in Glendale, right on the corner of Central and Lexington. Nice facility over there. And so we went in for home blessing. They just acquired this building a couple months ago. And so we went in to bless the consulate. And this is what got to me. As we walked in, the consul general was there. He greeted us, and he kept on referring to Armenia. Welcome to Armenia. You are in Armenia. Welcome to Armenian land. Interesting, huh? We are sitting in Glendale, and yet this small little patch of land belongs to Armenia. That is Armenia. That is completely Armenia. Now, interestingly enough, are we willing to push ourselves a little bit farther and have that discussion that what does that mean? Standing on American soil, right? But claiming that that is Armenia over there. So what defines an Armenian? Up until now, Armenian definition has usually been placed with the land around Mount Ararat, the land that has been defined by not only the geography, but by the sacrifice that has been made for that land, for the people. Namely, that it has been defined by the blood that has been spilled on that land. And now there is an annex, so to speak. And these annexes are popping up throughout the world. Wherever there's a consulate, wherever there's an embassy, of course, these are Armenian soil. You walk in there and there is Armenian soil right there, right? Now, let's leave that, because I think that is a discussion in itself. We've had it a few times as far as definitions. But of course, that's beyond the scope of what we do here on Next Step, because we're trying to talk about the ancient faith. We're trying to talk about what is that faith of the people which transcends actually Armenia. In other words, that the Armodoxy, the faith of Armodoxy, is something that goes back to the beginning of time. And we've been claiming that, yes, Jesus coming here, he is giving us a reminder. Jesus gives us a reminder of what that ancient faith is all about. He is the incarnation of God. He is the incarnation of love. And that transcends the time, even Palestine, and of course, definitely Armenia, Palestine, the United States, Australia, wherever you may be today, that there is something greater at play here. And that is basically to be united with the entire universe, to understand the faith in the context of the history of the universe. And so what I wanted to talk to you about, not about that Armenian thing, but what I discovered in Armenia at that consulate. Because there, I read with interest an article which later turned into actually rage on my part. I was so upset. I wanted to share that with you, our listeners, because there I read this article that just last month, on the pontifical visit of His Holiness Adam I, the Catholicos of the Great House of Cilicia, Catholicos. Now remember this. This is the highest rank in the Armenian Church. You've got deacon, priest, bishop, and we also, the Armenians, have an ordained, consecrated position called the Catholicos. And you have a Catholicos of the Armenian Church, Adam I, who is there. And in this article, it says that he was there last month on Armenian soil, and he said, "The consulate is our home, just as the church and Armenia is our home." Beautifully said by the Catholicos. And it continues, and I read with interest. Later I found out that this article happened to be also on the website of the consulate. So you can check it out too, just to make sure that I am quoting properly, because this next part is really the one that really kind of just irritated me, and I couldn't even believe what I was reading. Listen to this. It says, "His Holiness also reflected on the Armenian cause." Now, the Armenian cause, of course, is the demands of the Armenian people following the Armenian genocide, namely that the loss of land and life has to be, that there has to be justice served. Okay, listen to this. It says, "He reflected on the Armenian cause, saying that we will commemorate the 100th anniversary of the genocide not just with prayer, but by demanding the rights of our people, and that the Catholicos of Cilicia has been and will remain on the forefront of pursuing the Armenian cause. We will not remember it, we will not mark it with just prayer." Just prayer? Just prayer? Are we serious? Are we talking about a church leader? Are we talking about somebody of faith, referring to it as just prayer? I was appalled. I'm shocked. I'm still shocked. I can't believe it. Hey, you've been listening to The Next Step now for 4 years. You know where we come from. You know our demands for justice. You know how we demand that justice. And we'll fight for it. We pray for it and we fight for it. But can you just discount prayer? Can you discount the power of that prayer? I'm reading this and I'm thinking about the greats who moved our people because of prayer. I'm thinking about Christ, who sat there and he said, "We can conquer anything with the power of the prayer." with the power of faith. And yet, we're talking about a Catholicos who is demanding justice. How? With what? With the only weapon that we do have and we haven't tried. I've repeated this a million times and I won't get tired of repeating it, that Christ gives us this incredible weapon that we have yet to use. It's called the power of love. And it is put into motion by our prayers. How could you just say, just prayer? We're going to be beyond just prayer. We're going to go out there and demand. Do you understand how powerful that prayer can be? Do you understand how powerful Christ's prayer was from the cross? That it moved people, that it brought justice to the universe? And we're worried about justice with Turks? Do you want to bring justice to the universe? Pray, but with Turks we'll go and demand justice. Come on. We can bring them to their knees. We can get justice if we have that faith. Now, I understand this goes against everything that we are taught in this world. It goes against what we're taught in political science. It goes against what the politician will tell you. It goes against what the intellectual will tell you, what the philosopher will tell you. But hey, folks, you're a clergyman. If a clergyman isn't talking about the faith in Christ, who else is going to? Do you think the politician really cares? He cares about his votes. Do you think the banker really cares? The banker cares about money. So whose responsibility is it to present the proper statement, to present the proper argument that, hey, we have a weapon? And that weapon is the weapon of choice. It is brought to, it is implemented, that weapon is implemented through the power of prayer. And so I've got to tell you, I was just really taken aback. I couldn't believe this. I couldn't believe that a high-ranking clergyman, the highest, you talk about a Catholicos of the Armenian Church, saying, we will not just resort to prayer. We were going to demand justice. Hey, that justice comes around when we are able to make that prayer a real prayer. So it says much about where that faith is. And this is why I go back to what I was talking about earlier. This is one of the big problems in the Armenian Church. And why what we talk about here as armodoxy, I have no problem saying that this is armodoxy. And that's why there's that disclaimer at the end of the show. You know, fast-talking Susie over there, right? This is not a representation of the Armenian institution, the Armenian Church institution. They may or may disagree, but what we're doing is we're trying to look at what is that faith that has brought people to this point. And I'll tell you, look at what history gives us. Difficulties, torture, war, even genocide. And look what the faith gave us to fight all that. The faith gave us love. And I'll tell you something. The power of love has overcome all the evil that the world has thrown out at us. You're looking for a Catholicos to tell you that? Okay, I'm going to give you a Catholicos. The Indian Orthodox Church. The Indian Orthodox Church is a church that is in communion with the Armenian Church. It is in communion, meaning that it has the exact same faith. It has reciprocal faith. It has the exact same belief, set of beliefs. Indian Orthodox Church, I'm not talking about Western Indians, those here in the United States, the cowboy Indians. I'm talking about those from India. Small little group of people there. Relatively small in population compared to the larger population of India. But they proclaim a faith equal to the Armenian Church, and their Catholicos, the head of their church, happened to have been in San Jose back in the 1990s, San Jose, California. He was visiting his flock. Interestingly enough, a group of their parishioners had petitioned us. I was the priest at the church there, St. Andrew Armenian Church, and this group of Indian Orthodox had petitioned us, and our primate, the head of our church at the time, Archbishop Vache, had given them permission to celebrate their divine liturgy in our church every Sunday. And they would come without problem every Sunday to our church and celebrate and deliver the Eucharist to their people. There were priests that was there. Now, it so happened that their Catholicos was visiting San Jose. And as a gesture of thanks to me as the priest of the Armenian church, they invited me to meet him. And I'll never forget, I went to this gathering where everyone was seated on the floor. It was so beautiful, so much faith. And the Catholicos was seated up front. And he was talking to them as his children. And I had to move my way into the room. It was so packed. And when they saw me, they said that the Armenian priest is there. Would I come forward? And I approached. I kissed his hand, and in a symbol of respect to his church and his authority. And this Catholicos proceeded to tell me a story that I will never forget. He took off his ring, and he asked me to read the inscription inside of it. Inside of this Catholicos, this Indian Orthodox, inside of this ring was an inscription written in Armenian letters. And it said, Vazgen the First. Gift from Vazgen the First, who was the Catholicos of the Armenian people at that time. The Catholicos of all Armenians. And I read that. And I was puzzled. Why is this man wearing this? He said, this is a gift to me from my brother, your Catholicos. And then he turned to his people. And he said, I want you to know who the Armenian people are. He says, unlike us, we in the Indian Orthodox Church have only enjoyed our faith. The Maharajas of India have looked up to us, have given us place and honor of honor within the Indian caste system. We've been there. We've enjoyed our faith since the time we have adopted Christianity. He said, I want you to know who the Armenian people are. The Armenian people, unlike us, in fact, quite the opposite, have never enjoyed their faith, have never known peace in their land. In fact, are living under communist times right now. They have never known peace, and yet they have remained Christian. They have remained faithful to their faith, to their religion, to their beliefs. And so he came and he hugged me and he thanked me for allowing this group to participate, to share their faith in our church. I got to tell you how powerful that was. That here, an Indian Orthodox cleric was recognizing the power of faith in the Armenian Church, the power of the Holy Cross, to understand that despite the difficulties, here was a group of people that had put faith above all else. And so it's very hard for me to stomach something like what this Catholicos, Aram the First, is saying, that it's just prayer, that we will supplement that prayer with our demands for justice. Maybe so, but let me tell you, the power of that prayer is something that if we tap into, we can understand. And so this is where I'm telling you, it is so important that we understand that the mission of the church is delivered through faith. You can have your guns and you can have your weapons. In fact, I subscribe to a beautiful song that the Armenian Fedayis sing, Miayn Zenkovga Hayots Pergutyun. It says that it is only through the gun, it is only through the weapon that the Armenians will find their salvation. And I believe that. But I believe that that gunpowder, that bullet inside of that gun, is a gun that we haven't drawn yet. It is the gun that is filled with love. It is the gun that has been passed on to us, the weapon of choice, the weapon that we as Armenian clergymen need to talk about. And we're not, because we're scared. Let the politicians speak their political language. What do you expect from them? What do you expect from politicians? Hey, what do you expect from a used car salesman? What's he going to sell you? A car, right? What do you expect from anybody? For them to adhere to their mission. So, likewise, clergymen, people of faith, adhere to your mission, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there are crosses and there are crucifixions, but the power of the resurrection is greater than that cross. And once we can believe that, once we can tap into that, you'll find that it sifts through. You want to talk about Armenian nation, about Armenian cause, go ahead. Because the weapon is there. It's the weapon of love. And it's the one that can overcome all of the obstacles. You want to talk about your life. The crisis that's happening in your life. You want to talk about your community. You can. Because the power of love transcends not only nation. It transcends the powers of this world. It is the power of the cosmos. It is the power of the universe. It is what set everything in motion. It is the prime mover. It is the prime primal cause. Love. It is the Alpha and the Omega. It's the beginning. And it is the end. It is all. And that is what we are called to talk about. You want politics? Go to a politician. Okay, it's real simple there. But you want to hear the message of the universe, of the cosmos, the language of the universe, the language of the cosmos. You find that language in Christ Jesus. You find that language in the representatives of Christ Jesus. You find that language in Christ's holy body to be at communion with that faith. Welcome to Armadoxy. It is the faith that says that we're going back to the prime mover. We're going back to the beginning of time and not accepting anything less, because all of your weapons will break tomorrow. All of your money will have no value tomorrow, but love will endure, and it is forever. Here's Ani with today's bubbles. Needed a little break right now. She's just in time. Today's Spiritual Bubbles.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is the lesson of the porcupines. It was the coldest winter ever. So cold, even, that many animals were dying because of the chill. The porcupines, realizing the grave situation they faced, decided to group together to keep warm. This way, they could stay covered up, warm, and protecting themselves from the elements. But soon, the quills on each of their backs began to wound their closest companions. After a while, they decided it was best to distance themselves from one another. The porcupine slowly began to die, alone and frozen. So they had to make a choice. Either accept the quills of their companions or slowly disappear from the earth. The porcupines were wise. They decided to go back to being together. They learned to live with the little wounds caused by their close relationships with their companions in order to receive that heat, that warmth that came from being with others. And this way, only this way, were they able to survive. The best relationship is not the one that brings together perfect people, but when each individual learns to live with the imperfections of others and can admire the other person's good qualities. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind with all the little Voznis to heaven.
Get that Vozny from? Yeah, I guess that is porcupine, isn't that? Wink! That is really interesting. That is beautiful. Very nicely said. I love that story. I love all the stories that you do. And thank you for sharing that with you. And sure, yes, absolutely. She's showing me the picture. There is a picture that is going up on the website with this. This spiritual bubble has a graphic component to it. So look on our website, and there is a picture that goes with today's spiritual bubble as well. And this porcupine, there's something wrong though with a porcupine and a bubble. Isn't that kind of like, you can't, one negates the other, right? Well, definitely the porcupine negates any bubble. So it's kind of an odd thing to put together. But let me tell you about something that we do need to put together. And that is these porcupines that have to come together. Hey, that's like you and me. So thank you, Ani, for this segue. Because you know what? When we get together, we talk about overcoming some of our difficulties. We are right now in a crisis situation when it comes to faith. When you look at the rest of the world, what's going on in the world and all the difficulties, there is an answer out there. And that answer is Christ's love. And Christ's love is expressed in a unique manner. We got to stop looking at religion as... Let me read you what this man, Bill Maher, I'm sure you've heard of him. And if you haven't, here in America, he's pretty big deal. He even gets contracts from different people. But if you haven't heard from him in some of the other parts where we're being heard, just listen to what this guy says. This guy's making millions off of people laughing at him. He does satire, okay? Listen to what he says on religion. Plain fact is, religion must die for mankind to live. The hour is getting very late to be able to indulge in having key decisions made by religious people, by irrationalists, by those who would steer the ship of state not by a compass, but by the equivalent of reading the entrails of a chicken. Okay, this is what people believe religion is all about. And he says it perfectly over here. Because in his expression over here, you understand what most of the world is understanding, okay? That religion is some kind of this ancient superstitious thing, and it has no value or relevance in life today. And what did we just talk about? You want to overcome the greatest difficulties, religion gives you an answer. And that religion that we adhere to, Orthodoxy, is giving you this very basic answer. It comes from the beginning of life, beginning of the universe, and it takes you through your life, and it connects you to the end of the universe. I.e., it is a living faith. It is a real faith. It is a faith that is based on nothing greater than love itself. Now, this is what we preach over here. Orthodoxy, and if you're one of the porcupines out there that has some problems like us, we are the porcupines over here too, you know? We need to start banding together. We need to get this message out. And I'm telling you, one of the greatest things that you can do for us right now, our listeners, is get the message out that Orthodoxy is happening. Get the message out. Next step, Compass. Have you been following Compass? We are now in the eighth or ninth. We are now in the eighth session of it. I mean, I've got to tell you, these are just evolving. Check out what we've got on the Orthodoxy site. All of this is pointing in one direction. We are basically running a 24/7 operation right now. I don't know how we're doing it, but God has given us this talent. God is giving us this strength to overcome some of our greatest difficulties. And once you got it, you know, we've been studying the last several weeks. We've been studying the book of Acts in our Questions in Faith series every Wednesday evening. The book of Acts, it's very interesting, the first few chapters that you read. Here is the post-resurrection church. I mean, you're talking about 2 months after the resurrection of Christ. They have been impacted so intensely, so immensely, that they have changed. You're seeing Peter, the guy who actually denies Jesus, he is speaking boldly. And he uses that word boldly. He's getting up and he's saying, this is what I believe. Go ahead. Take a shot at me. I believe it so much. I mean, do we have that boldness in us? It's difficult. I'm not claiming we have that boldness of Peter. But why shouldn't we? Why should we let people like this Mar, why should we let others come and criticize religion because a few fanatics are out there, when we understand that the real faith is pure, it is love, it is the power to overcome? Then we have the obligation now to spread that. And that's what we're seeing in the book of Acts. Look at it. That they understood the resurrection. They saw the power of the resurrection. So now they understood that it was their obligation to testify. It was their obligation to get out and say, hey, we have found something. Remember, Jesus calls us to find that pearl. He says, it is like the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant who is in search of the greatest pearl out there. And he finds it, and on finding it, he sells everything so that he could acquire it. You found something here. You found Christ. You found love. It is now the next step that you need to take, which is to testify to it. And I'm telling you, some of the easiest things. We're going to hear Susie in a minute. She tells us to donate, to participate. I'm going to start it off. I'm going to kick off by telling you one of the greatest things that you can do right now is just to pass the word on. To take the links for this podcast to Compass, to our Armadoxy blogs, and spread the news. Put it up on Facebook. Tweet about it. Get it out in your blogs. Share it with others. I get all kinds of these weird things in my email. You'd be surprised who sends it. There's clergymen out there that just send out some of this stuff. Like, did you read this? And send it to 10 of your friends. Otherwise, this will happen to you. But if you send it to 10 of your friends, this is the reward that you get. Come on, folks. That's the kind of nonsense that people complain about. I'm giving you something that is real. And the real proof of that is in your life. Put love to the test. Not talking about myself, I'm talking about something that is greater than you and me. It is the power of love. Put it to test. Spread some love. And you'll see the power. You'll see the ability to flower where there is only dirt. You'll see the power and the ability to shed light where there is only darkness. Not my promise, but the promise given to us by Christ Jesus. Spread the news and then get involved. Here's Susie to tell you how to get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing The Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to The Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you. I really appreciate all that you do. I appreciate your prayers, and I'm extending this appreciation because we are in the season of Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about Thanksgiving for the next few minutes and bringing it to a close. But I just want to remind you that, you know, one of the greatest things that you can do is to use that forward button and share the good news that we do need to get this message of Armadoxy out to the world. I am so encouraged by the number of emails, by the number of sites throughout the world. And look how God is really blessing us. I mean, I've got to tell you, I feel so blessed and honored when we're seeing like apps, we're seeing different means. We've got the internet radio. It's all taking place. It's exciting because people are reacting. People are saying that, hey, this is the message that needs to get out. If you haven't checked out Compass, please do so. Check out Questions in Faith. And even Monday mornings, we've got some Monday morning Pacific time, which I always have to mention because you people are in Europe. Make this your time with the family. It gets to you. It is streamed live. It is in the Armenian language, and it is live Bible study streamed, and it is just a great opportunity to sit down with your family and check it out. That is all happening at epostle.net. Think about it. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Is a nice transition piece. Those are my kids from St. Gregory. Oh, that is beautiful. We haven't played that in a long time. We got to get that Focus Vision CD back up and running. Thank you, Ken, for remembering that. Nice little transition piece. You know, once you've got this news, it is your responsibility to spread it, and it is your responsibility to enjoy that as well. I want to end today's podcast with a prelude to Thanksgiving. And of course, next week here in America, we celebrate Thanksgiving. It is a beautiful opportunity for us to take a break from everything that we do and give thanks to God. And the beauty of this is that, you know, the tradition begins with the pilgrims. Here in America, the pilgrims came in the 17th century and they began their new life, basically to say that we are excited about the opportunity to freely worship, to freely express ourselves in this newfound land. And despite the difficulties that they had, they actually went through two winters of just unbearable hardship, and half of the population was even lost. Yet they took a moment to pause and thank God for the blessings that they do have. And think about it. In the expression of thanksgiving, you start looking at the glass that is half full rather than the emptiness. Basically, you switch gears and it becomes an opportunity for you to be positive, optimistic in your outlook. And that's what we're going to pick up next week. Next Thursday, the next step will be podcast right on Thanksgiving Day. And I'm going to share with you some incredible Thanksgiving moments next week. Yeah, that's it. Thanksgiving moments, not Thanksgiving stories. Thanksgiving moments. You have to check in next week. I know you're going to enjoy it, and we're going to tie it up with Armodoxy. What is Thanksgiving in the context of Armodoxy? Hey, I want to leave you with something a little different today. I'm going to talk about somebody that I really, really didn't even notice. I didn't even understand who this was. This is Regis Philbin. He's going to be retiring tomorrow. He is a man who has the Guinness Book of World Records has named him a person who's been the most enduring act in the history of television. 16,700 hours in front of a camera. And today, tomorrow morning, Friday morning, he's going to be doing his farewell show on Regis and Kelly. I know. I've never sat through an entire Regis and Kelly. I've maybe checked out an interview that they've done or something, but I found it how superficial. Superficial is the word? Yes, superficial is that act. I mean, they're laughing about this and that, and you say, what are these people? But here's an interesting thing. I picked up, actually, the Newsweek article. They had Jerry Seinfeld do an interview, and I want to leave you with this little bit that I got out of this article. Something that I didn't think, like, if you told me yesterday that this would intrigue you, I would say impossible. But this morning I woke up and they're talking about it, and I see this Newsweek article, and I picked it up and I was reading it, and I'm intrigued. It said that, here's Jerry Seinfeld exchanging a dialogue with Regis. It says, my friend, Colin Quinn, this is Jerry Seinfeld talking, calls your show Breakfast with Your Father. You're this guy who we love and are comfortable with, but he's only going so far with you. When you get to a certain line of propriety, he's going to say, I don't want to hear about that. And that's what you're missing in television. People who realize, I don't want to know everything. I don't want you to display your sexual proclivities. It's a moral compass of what I'm going to talk about on TV and what I'm not going to talk about on TV. And that's what Regis provided. That's it. It's not very profound, but I just wanted to share that with you. I'm not even a fan of Regis. Maybe seen him a few times. Remember his Millionaire Show? I used to enjoy that. But because of the questions, because I continued to enjoy it even when it was done in Armenia. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Yeah, if you've ever seen the Armenian version of it. It's wild. They play for Thrum. But Regis, I just enjoyed that statement that Jerry made about him. That we're not looking for everything. You know, there are certain boundaries. We don't need to find out everything about everybody else. Sexual proclivities. People are just so engaged in just foulness. In finding out just every little bit of information. Hey, there needs to be boundaries in Armenian sahman. The boundaries of good taste, of judgment. We've been talking about this lately in our Questions in Faith series, about the boundaries of good taste. You know, people come up to you always say, oh, I could pray anywhere. Yeah, but you wouldn't go to the Dodger Stadium, you wouldn't go to the football stadium, into the bathroom, and start praying. You could if you wanted to, but it's not the place, right? You don't need the details. There's just certain places, right? Ground Zero, remember a few months ago? Was it about a year ago? They were talking about putting a mosque at Ground Zero. A shrine to Islam at Ground Zero. Okay, you could do it. The law says you can do it. It's private property. You got the money, you buy it, you can do it. But talk about good taste. Talk about having a sense of responsibility, of understanding that there is taste. There are limits. You could understand how that would offend a lot of people. And you've got to put all of that into the equation. And so I appreciated this little statement. That yes, we do enjoy freedoms. Yes, we do have limitless access to life. You can do whatever you want. But at certain times, we don't need to hear everything. We don't need to see everything, that there is something known as taste. And that taste is important in life. It gives our lives value, and it gives us a sense of wonder and a sense of enjoyment in life. And I leave you with that. Nothing profound. I don't even know Regis Philbin. I mean, God bless him. He's entertained people for so many years. Just got to know him in this small little interview that I read. And we wish him the best. That's good taste, isn't it? Hey, listen, we are at the end of today's podcast. It's been a pleasure producing it today. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed putting it together. Want to invite you to our website, epostle.net, where you'll find all this interesting stuff. All kinds of stuff. Invite you to join us for Compass every Tuesdays. Invite you to join us for Questions of Faith every Wednesday. And of course, every Thursday for The Next Step. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. We'll have a special prayer for your Thanksgiving meal. We'll get The Next Step out so that you can enjoy The Next Step prayer at your Thanksgiving meal. That's going to be our way of saying thanks to all of you. So in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we invite you to join us again next week when we will all assemble Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, and of course, Ani with her bubbles. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.